Sections, two chapters in. I want to show you two chapters in the book from Rabbi Gibbs, Rabbi Yitzchak Zalman Gibbs. Those are on the topic of the Mesorah. What does it have to do with the parasha? Very, very little. There are two things about the parasha. Number one is I'll show you in a minute the simin that comes at the end of the parasha. And more importantly, it relates to maybe today. Tomorrow is the last daf in Bava Basra. Anyone here meeting the sign of Bava Basra
today?
We're in the shul.
It's gonna be a meal.
So Bava Basra is the largest misachta. Mazel tov. Mazel tov to all of the Messiah.
You make your scene
too? Mazel tov to all of the Messiah. The largest Messiah, 100 and Kuf Ayin Vav, 176 Dafim, minus one, the first Daf. But it's the largest. Where else do you have the largest? That same number? Rabbi Sai, one of you have the largest number. You have the largest number. The largest number of Tehillim, Mizmar Kuf Yotes. Kuf Ayin Vav Pesukim and Parshas Nosoi has Kuf Ayin Vav Pesukim. There's a verse I saw here in this sefer, the Satmir Rav Zechat Tzarek Levracha, where at his wedding, the day of his wedding, he hazarded the entire Bava Basra. Anyone say that by a scene today? At the day of his wedding, I guess he wanted to eat. What did he eat? When he got married, the morning of his wedding, he reviewed the entire Bava Basra from cover to cover. And he said, today, I ate, now this is what he said, I ate kez. How do you pronounce it? Kez? Cheese? How do you say cheese?
Kez.
Kez. How do you spell kez? Kuf Ayin Zayin. Now, I don't understand the story because it's Kuf Ayin Vav. It's Kuf Ayin Vav. Kuf Ayin Vav, because he missed one daf. Okay, so I guess he can be up by one, but that's how the story goes. That's how the story goes. The day of his wedding, he ate Kuf. He said, I learned Masechta Bava Basra. I ate Kays. I ate cheese today. In any event, here in this Sefer, he has a topic of discussion. Being that this, today, we are being Messiah, this Shabbos, Parshas Nosoi, Parshas Matos Masei, we're being Messiah Chumash Bamidbar. Chumash Bamidbar, to some degree, is... Chumash Bamidbar is, to some degree, the end of the Torah, because Chumash Devarim begins the Torah all over. It's a Chazara. So it's a good time to talk about the Mesorah, the tradition, exactly why everything in the Torah is the way it is, and some very interesting yidiyos. I wouldn't want to call it trivia, because there's nothing trivial about the Torah, but that's really the best word I can find to describe some of these little tidbits that he presents here. It's very unique. It's very unique what he presents over here in these two chapters. Now, first of all, Let's focus on some of the Iker Yisaitis. Number one is this Gemara Mesechta Kiddushin. The Gemara tells us how many Pesukim there are in the Torah. Does anyone know the Gemara? The Gemara says there are 5,888 Pesukim in the Torah. And then the Gemara says that Tehillim has 8 more for 5,896. And the Divrei Hayyam has 8 less. 5,880. That's what it says in the Gemara. The middle number is 5,888. It's good for this year. This year is 5,777. Right? So the Torah is... Oh, today is the day? 7-17. So backwards. Everything, you can go backwards.
A palindrome.
You can go backwards and forwards. Okay, so it's a good day to talk about these interesting ideas, but it's interesting over there that this is the year 5777, and the Torah there is 5888. What is the significance? I have no idea. And Tehillim is 8 more, and Divrei Hayyam is 8 less. Problem. What's the problem? Take out a Chumash and start counting the Pesukim, and you will discover there's 5,846. How many are we off? 42 is a very significant number because this week is Parshas Masei. How many Masos are there? 42. What does all of this mean? Beats me. Okay, but these are just some interesting things. Interesting things to focus on. I'll give you some halacha in a moment. No, there is some. There are some nice halacha issues here as well. We'll come to some of these things in a moment. Okay, who made, I'm going to just jump around, who is the one that made the kapitloch? Made the, we discussed this not that long ago, who made the chapters in the entire Tanakh? When did it come into existence? Who made it? Was it made by Jews? Was it made by non-Jews? So, first of all, you have to know that there is, from the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, there is one that the chapters are sacred. They were made by none other than David and the other 10 people that contributed towards whoever, towards Tehillim. Tehillim, the breaking points, Tehillim is Mizmorim. Okay, these are hymns, these are psalms. The break points are sacred. These are the way they were written by David or by Asan or by the various people who composed these. So Tehillim is an exception to the rule. From the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, we have Tehillim. Now, what about the other 23 Sifrei? Who was the one who, when did these breakpoints come into existence? So it's not really clear. There is a very... Let me say my piece. It's not really clear when they came into existence. Some want to suggest that it came into existence in the year 1244, after or during the Tkufa of the the Shreifas HaTalmud, the Ramban was later. The Ramban was about 50 years later. So during the time of the Shreifas HaTalmud, which we discussed not that long ago, on Erev Shabbos, the Shreifas HaTalmud took place on Erev Shabbos Parshas Sukkos, but before that period of time there was the very big debate of Yechilmi Paris, together with other Talmidei Chachamim. They debated Donin, Nicholas Donin, the apostate. And at that point in time, the Christians were using the Tanakh to prove that their Avodah Zarah, Yeshu HaNotri, is the Mashiach, and they needed desperately a technique or some type of device where they can refer quickly to various psukim in Tanakh. So for the purpose of debating, interesting, so you have to understand where it came from. Not just Stam, okay, the Christians now, you know, they're sitting in Kolo, and they're learning Tanakh, and they just need a convenient way of deferring to the psukim. They went and they created the Tanakh. They created it for us. It's a very, very big difference. Stop. What do you think? I think yes, the average Kin Yeshiva. Who made the Kapitloch and the Chumash? Oh, the Christians did it. It's Christians. Really? So you're learning of Christian theology? You're learning the Chumash? You're learning the Christian? Well, they did. That's how it is. Don't ask me. That's Vayishaya Kachaya. It's more than that. They did it because they needed to refer to psukim in the debates. Isn't that amazing? It's a whole new twist. It was done lahachis, not just that they did it for themselves, in their kolo. They did it because when they want to debate us, they need to be able to refer to a very specific pasuk. So when we refer to a perek, it's not so, it takes away, it changes the dynamics of how you look at it. That's right. We are, it's like a response to you who are trying to attack us when you refer to a kapitel and a pasuk. You're talking back to the Christians. Lefi you, according to your calculation, this is the pshat. Okay, you have to think about you don't have to, but it's more than that. It's more than that. The kapitloch were arranged only to use it as a tool against us, not that Stam they made it as themselves. And not everyone agrees to this. He quotes different sources. Some suggest that the kapitloch came into existence a little bit later. They came in by I have over here by a different cardinal. Okay, there are different cardinals and different people. Yeah, let's just leave it. Different kufas of when exactly, but it seemingly it was created in order to be used as part of the debate. Now, this is something, a yediyah to be aware of. I only knew two of these. I didn't know there was a third pair. There's something called the Mesora Kitana, the Mesora Gedoyla, and the Mesora Rabba. Today, this is extinct. You can find this in the old Chumashim, in the old Tanakhs. In the old Tanakhs, there are three different things. You look at it, it's Greek, and most people don't even know what it means. They have no clue what the codes. There's a certain code, a system to understand what it means. It means that this word appears in Tanakh 10 times. And two of the times it's Chaser, and the other times, 8 times it's Mole. There are different code words in the old Mikros, Gedolos that were published by Bramberg and other editions of the Mikros, Gedolos. And there are three different types of Mesoira. There's the Mesoira Kitana, the Mesoira Gedola, and the Mesoira Rabba. The Mesoira Kitana and the Mesoira Gedola appear on the page, the Mesoira Rabba appears in the back. And this just kedai to know what these three terms are, because often in some of the older Svarim, when they tell you something, they say, it says in the Mesoira Kitana, or the Mesoira Gedola, or the Mesoira Rabba, these are the three classic collections of tradition of how to write the Tanakh, the correct spelling to preserve what? Mincha Shai is a sefer. Mincha Shai is a sefer. Mincha Shai, he quotes it. He quotes the Masor. He quotes the Masor. Mincha Shai came much, much later. Okay, the next idea is, in general, this is a very beautiful idea, is what does it mean Masor? Why, when we refer to the correct spelling of a word, the correct tradition, if a word it should be mole or chaser, an extra yud, a missing yud, an aleph, the chulu, why is it called, why do we refer to this with the term misoira? This is the misoira. The word is spelled without an aleph. This is the misoira. The word is spelled with a hey instead of an aleph. This is the misoira, that there should be a mole, there should be a full vav. Why is it called the misoira? So he cites here from the Radak. It says in the Pasuk, Vayimosru. It says, where is the word Vayimosru? Vayimosru. Me'alfe, they gave over. Elif lamach, they gave over. The Radak teaches, what does it mean by the word Vayimosru? This expires. Oh, so that's why, maybe that's why he brings it down in this parasha. Perik lamach, al Pasuk, Vayimosru. So there's a Radak. The Radak, there is no Radak in Chumash, but the Radak in his Akdama, where he explains a lot of rules of grammar we all know are found in the Radak. And the Radak there says the reason why it's called the Mesoira is based upon that word, because what does it mean by Yimashru? The Ayin Shem Sheperash, the Shoy Mesira, Hainu Kimo, Mesiras Pikadon, Shiach Zikenu Birishusoi, Kiritsoinoi, Ki Ilu Hi Sheloi. The word Mesira means, is a term that is used exclusively in reference to giving a pikadon, giving a person a collateral. I'm giving you this collateral, hold it in your hand, as if it's yours. If I don't pay you back the money, if I don't return the money I owe you, keep it. It's yours. It's yours for keeping. V'zehu inyin Mesira shenosan Moshe li Yeshua. When Yeshua gave over the Torah to Yeshua, it's yours. I'm giving it to you. On the one hand, it's really mine because the Torah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the degree of possession that you have in your hand is not just a possession that's loose, that's weak, that you're borrowing something. When you borrow something, it's never yours. You don't know, you have to give it back. A pikadon is technically yours because the person you owe, the person owes you money. So if he's not going to give you the money, you're able to keep this in your hands forever. On the other hand, the money, this possession, really belongs to someone else. So it's a very fascinating concept. When you want to go understand that the Torah that we have in our possession, we have, is called the Pekodoyim, that has a lot of flavor, because that means, Mitzad Echad, it's 100% ours. We are the Bailim. Mitzad Sheni, we makir that we write it. We didn't write the Torah. The Torah was given as a divine book. It came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A pekodin is a very powerful concept. The legal ownership of pekodin is a complex concept. That's something which is very true. It's a very appropriate concept to apply to the Torah. And the word you use to express the handing over of the pekodin, from the owner to the guardian is the word vayimosru. So this is a very beautiful word to explain that we have the Torah, we have to know exactly what we have in our possession with all the letters and all the spelling, and it's borrowed from the word in this week's parsha. Okay, another interesting idea. We have in the Torah, Mesorah, that are many words in the Torah, there are dots. There are dots on a whole collection of words in a Sefer Torah. We will learn this, we'll learn Sefer Torah in Aruch HaShulchan. If the dots are missing, the Sefer Torah is still kosher. But the halacha, the dots must be there. I ask you, who is the one that invented these dots? So I was always under the understanding that it's halacha l'moshe misinai. Right? Isn't that what you think? Why there are dots? No such thing. You know where the dots come from? The one who invented the dots? Ezra HaSofer. This is his innovation. He is the one that invented the dots in the Sefer Torah. Just like he's the one that decided that we should now use Ksav Ashuris, we changed from Ksav Ivri to Ksav, a different script. He is the one that invented dots. And the question is, how could you do that? Each dot in the Sefer Torah is there to allude to a special halacha. It's there to allude to a concept. We have a tradition that Dvorim Shebichsav Iyator Shai Lo'oimram Balpeh. Something which is meant to be written, something which is expressed Balpeh, you're not allowed to put in writing. Even though it's only a dot, it's not a letter, he, L'choira, is in violation of Dvorim Shebalpeh Iyator Shai to put into writing. So he quotes over here from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe quotes this, the credit quotes from the Taz. Rav Moshe explains it. And Rav Moshe says this idea that Eliyo Hanavi is the one who invented the dots is Ezra, comes from the Piskei Tosfos and Masechet Menachos. It's not a Medrash, it's not a Chazal, it's not a Gemara, it's not a Medrash. It is a legend handed down from the Piskei Tosfos, from the Rishonim. They had in their possession some type of legend, some type of tradition, that Eliyahu HaNavi anticipated that the day is going to come when Ezra HaSofer anticipated the day is going to come when Moshe Rabbeinu is going to meet him and is going to have a complaint. What in the world did you do? What in the world did you do by putting dots in my Sefer Torah? Dvarim Shebal Peh Iyator Rishai. The dots allude to a tradition, to a teaching, how you have no right to put in writing. So Ezra says, I'm ready for Moshe when he comes to attack me. Piskei Tosfos and Masechta Menachos. If Moshe will come with a complaint, Lama no kadita, why did he put a dot? Yoimar, I'll say to him, Haloi loy mo chakti. Just be happy I didn't erase anything. That's what it says. Shocking words. Rav Moshe writes, Rav Moshe, Yerodea, Ulchayra loy muvon. This doesn't make any sense. I didn't look up the tshuva, I didn't have time. I read through what he explains. He's quoting over here very quickly where Rav Moshe says, I don't really understand. Well, leave it with that. All he basically says is, an incredible chiddush is that the Gemara says, Sanhedrin Daf Chaf Aleph, Sheroi Hoya Ezra Shetinosein Torah Al Yado Li Yisrael. Ezra HaSofer was roy to be Moshe Rabbeinu. And that gave Ezra HaSofer the license, halfway of a fellow, wondrous what it says here, the license to add things to the Torah. He did not go so far to add a new parsha, new words, but he took advantage of the license that he was roy, that Torah should have given through him, to add dots.
So the Ksiv come from Ezra?
No. The Ksiv comes from Moshe. But the dots are an addition. The dots teach you halacha. And the dots teach you halacha. We anyway have a tradition. We anyway know what these halachas are. We anyway have a Mesorah. So basically, what are the dots? They're trying to remind you, to draw your attention to the Mesorah, to the halacha l'moshe misinai. That is a violation of Dvarim Shebaal Peh, something which is meant to be Baal Peh, to be oral, is not allowed to be put in writing. You'll say it's only when you put in words. No, even a dot, L'chayr, should be a violation. No, Ezra HaSofer was given the license to put into writing things that are oral tradition because he was Roy, the Torah should be given on his bike through him. And at least this much he put, he was the one who made the dots in the Sefer. So
that's why they put the dots on the top.
No, whatever it is, whatever it is. Just an incredible idea to be aware of. The dots are not halacha l'rosh m'sinai. It's an innovation of Ezra HaSofer, because he was roy to give the Torah, and if not for this, this would be a violation of the principle of Dvar Moshe Bapiyat HaRashal Le'Oyman B'Chsaf. And Ezra knew he was getting into trouble, and he would tell Moshe Rabbeinu, "Yala taina, why I put dots? Be happy I did not erase anything from the Torah." Maybe what alludes to, maybe what this alludes to, what Ezra HaSofer really is doing, what? What do you say?
If that's missing, it's still kosher.
That's your day, Shulchan Aruch. It's still kosher. It's still kosher. And maybe what we can extrapolate and we can say is, we do know, Eis Lasois LaHashem Heferu Torasacha. Why is everything today put in print? It's, everything that we're doing today is a violation of halacha. You're not allowed to have any Torah Shebaal Peh in writing. It's osur. Osur. Why? There's no choice. Eis la'asos la'Hashem, when a time to do for Hashem, heferu teresecha, your Torah is null. It's a very dangerous concept. Okay, there's a sakana to say such a thing. We don't have the power to say what Chazal did, and they made use of this principle in order to put the Torah in writing. So I want to suggest, is that is really an extraction of Ezra HaSofer. That's what I want to suggest. Is that even, because what do you mean, eis la'asos? Look at the conservative movement, what they said. If we're not going to drive on Shabbos to shul, this is exactly what they said. There'll be no more Judaism. Everyone now lives out in the suburbs. There's no way for people to come to shul on Shabbos. The only way they can come to shul on Shabbos is by driving. That's in essence what they did. That's what they did. And look what that took them. And they, all these people are chamal son, they're gone. They're totally gone. So how come we Chazal were able to say when it came to Torah, to putting things in writing? So I want to suggest, according to Rav Moshe saying, based upon this Piskei Tais in the Menachos, what it appears over here is that Ezra was the first one to violate this principle. He's putting dots in the Sefer Torah. This Moshe, what are you doing? It's Torah Shebaal Peh. Ezra says, listen, the Torah should have been given through me, not you, Moshe. I'm also good. And therefore, I have a license. Therefore, the very least, what I'm going to take advantage is I'm going to set a precedent that this halacha, you can violate this halacha when it comes to writing in the Sefer Torah, which by extrapolation is in the Sefer Torah, you just put the dots, but we're going to put in print Talmud, Bavli, Yerushalmi, Medrash, Tosefta. Yeah.
If there was English,
yes,
in the time of Ezra, yeah, before Ezra, you could write a Sefer Torah, not a Sefer, a book. You wrote yourself the Torah.
No, you can't.
Why not?
Torah Shebichsav, you can. Fine. Torah Shebichsav.
Right, so you can write the Torah in English.
You can write the Torah Shebichsav, but
right,
not Torah Shebaal Peh.
No, the Torah Shebichsav, you can write in English.
Or is it that?
English has the translation.
Okay, fine.
Language.
It's not relevant what you're saying. I'm asking you, let me ask you a question. Is the dot Torah Shebichsav, or is the dot Torah Shebaal Peh?
You take the word.
Answer the question. Is the dots? There are dots all over the Torah. Ayei, Sara, Yishtecha.
When I open a Torah, the dots. It says voracious.
Yeah.
How do I know it's voracious?
What do you mean?
How do I know it's not voracious? How do I know it's
voracious? We're talking about the vowels. We're talking about the extra dots.
That's the vowels.
No, I'm not talking about
the kudos.
That's on top of the words.
You said we're talking about the kudos. Nobody said we're
not.
Last week,
I'm sorry, it's my fault. I wasn't clear.
You thought? Okay, I'm sorry. My fault. Okay, my fault. My apology. You're not talking about vowels.
Nobody ever thought of that.
Okay.
Nobody but him thought of that.
Okay, Rabbi Yisrael. Okay, let's go a little further. Another idea. Okay. Now, big mystery. Big mystery. Who is the one? This there's no answer to. No one has an answer to this question. Who is the one at the end of every parasha? At the end of every parasha, there's a mesorah. Okay? Here, in Parashas Maaseh, Kuf Lamed Beis Psukim. Okay? There are 130. Every single parasha at the very end, there's something called a simen. Kuf Lamed Beis Psukim. Machla Choyla Simen. Machala is the name of one of the daughters of Tzolofchad. Choyla, she's ill. She's sick. Whoever says she's sick. Whoever says she got sick. What? Doesn't say that she got sick. It doesn't say. Machala Choyla Simen. Now, by the way, this is the real reason why he selected this time, because this, from all of the simonim in the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, is the most bizarre. Now, really, I don't know why he says that, because to me they're all bizarre. They're all very strange. So a lot of darshanim on this parasha.
Everyone.
So this is something which is food for the darshanim. The darshanim might take the simon. They like to go and give you these exotic interpretations of what is the significance of the simon. Okay, let's take a step back. Who created these simonim? When were they invented? The first time they appear is in. I think in the first Mikros Gedolos that was printed about 500 years ago. 500 years ago, the first Mikros Gedolos is where it made its first appearance. And Ad Hayom HaZeh, this is one of the biggest mysteries in Klal Yisrael, is who? Who is the Mechaber? Who is the one who invented? Who invented? Was it done by a yeshiva bachar? Had nothing better to do? Sitting and twiddling his thumbs in 10th grade? Or was it done by Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh? By the biggest Rishonim, by Gedolei Yisrael, it's past the Rishonim. Maybe there was a Mesorah. Maybe there was a tradition. This went back from the time of. They went back to the time of the Amoraim, the Sarabonim Savaroi. Who knows? And the Tanoim? This is something that has gotten lost in Golos. We don't know. When, where, who is the author, when it came into existence. We know when it was first printed. It was first printed about 500, 600 years ago, but we don't know who is one. Now, he says over here what it means, machla choyla, he does say generally, ruba deruba, it's not always so, ruba deruba, when yava ya, it's a name of a person. 80% of the simonim in the 54 parishes of the Torah is one word. It's one word, and it's the name of a person. So a name of a person is a gematria that tells you how many psukim, but not always. Sometimes it's the name of a place. And sometimes there are two simonim, there are two simonim for whatever reason. We don't know why. Here he explains the reason why it's called machla, because machla is the name of the person in the part. That's the style. Choyla, he says, is because since these are the masses, so the very first Rashi, the very first Rashi in this week's parasha says why are the Masos recorded? Why can it just say Klal Yisrael traveled? They just traveled for 40 years and 38 years in the desert. So Rashi says Loshen Chiba, when you want to go back, here is where this happened. Rashi, the first Rashi says Mishnasu Miramses. Let me find the old Hotzim Rabbi Tanchuma Dorashbo. Drosha Cheres, first Rashi in the parasha. Masha leMelech Shohaya b'noy Choyla. The reason why Ele Masay v'nei Yisrael. The reason why we have the entire parasha b'nei Yisrael. It's a marshal to a king who had a son who was ill. V'haylichay lemakim rochak lirapoisan. He took him to a doctor far, far away. Kevan Shohayu Chayzrin. When they came back, the doctor was successful, he healed the child. So when they came back, the father was so happy, and he said, "Ah, hischil aviv moines hamasos, omar loy kan, yo shaninu, here we slept, kan hukarnu, here this happened to us, kan choshashta esreshecha, here you had a headache, it's a chibo when a person goes, you take your child, a father takes a child to the hospital, and then baruch hashem, everything is okay. When you come back, you can decompress. Everything is okay, and you review the panic. Over here, this happened. Okay, you have to I have to analyze what this mashal means exactly. I don't know, but the of tanchum, that's the entire tafkid of Parshas Masai. It's a mashal to a melech whose ben was choyle, was ill. Therefore, that is why the mesorah is machala choyle. Two separate ideas, machala and choyle. Okay, let me just tell you one more thing, and then we're going to do more of this tomorrow.
Does he say anything about Tillum, why we have to do explanations?
Why do we have what?
Why every capital in Tillum, in the old
Bible? Yeah.
It said, what be short, what is Merachos?
No, he doesn't talk about that here. I don't know that. That's a new thing. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, one thing he points to, this is more of a halachic issue, because let's do more tomorrow. The halachic issue is, and you see this sometimes, and you wonder about this, if you're laying, when you lay in the Chomesh Megillos, if you go to a shul, they lay in Rus, Koheles, Shir HaShirim, and even Megillas Esther. Do you pause between Perakim? So I've seen many Balik who do pause. Take a breath. Right? They come to the end of Koheles. The call is very, very long. End the Perak. All of you, even Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther, you pause. Megillas Esther, they are Parash Psuchas. There are parashas, parashas stumas. So there are breakpoints. So he says there's no such thing as pausing. It's a mistake. It's a halachic issue. When in Koheles, there is no need, or there is not correct. It's worse than that. It's not correct to pause gesundheit between Perek Aleph and Perek Beis, because these breakpoints are Christian breakpoints. They're not. There's no tradition to break at these points. So why in halach? So you're giving legitimacy to the Christians when you're laying the Megillah and you're pausing between Perakim. The only place you're supposed to pause is Balayla Havu Nadu Dashnas HaMelech. There it's a new section. Just to raise your voice, the Gemara says. But it happens to be the Christians also happen to make that Perak Vav. But that's not. Otherwise, the other Perakim, you don't pause unless you come to a Parsha Stuma, where then there is thing that was. Oh, the Christians also, in addition to changing making the Kapilach, which are wrong, they also changed it from 24 books to how many books? 28 books. They added more books. They broke up Shmuel to Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis. Melachim Aleph, Melachim Beis. No such thing. There's no such thing as Melachim Aleph, Melachim Beis. You take out a klaf. So you ask the Gabbai, so which klaf? Which one? Take out the klaf. Take out the klaf after Melachim Aleph. Make sure you got Melachim Aleph klaf. It's not the Melachim Beis klaf. There's no such thing. They also broke up Nehemiah, Daniel. They broke that. This is separate. Shirush Shavu. They broke that. That's all. They broke up Nehemiah, and there is no Sefer Nehemiah. The Sechemi and the Gemara is all included in Sefer Ezra. And Divrei Hayamim is only one Divrei Hayamim. Okay, there's no two Divrei Hayamim. So therefore, they made it from 24 to 28. What else did they do? They put the order, they changed the order. They put Yeshaya before Yirmiyah and Yechezkel, which is very logical, because Yeshaya lived 200 years before Yirmiyah and Yechezkel. But this itself is a very powerful limb. In the Chazal's eyes, no, Yeshaya comes afterwards. That's a very powerful, in the order of Tanakh, Lefi Chazal, Yirmiyah, Yechezkel, I think it's Yirmiyah, Yechezkel, Yeshaya, Treyasa. Not Yeshaya, Treyasa, Yirmiyah, Yechezkel. The Christians, because we have also Alpha Beis, but we also have Alpha Beis. They made the Kapitloch. The same way we have the Kapitloch from them, and the same way we have Aleph and Beis from them. Go look at any Haredi or Sefer Shmuel, Shmuel Aleph, Shmuel Beis, and it's all the Kapitloch from them, all the chapter breaks. So we also have an influence by them, and we put it in order. The order is their order, where we've put first Yeshaya, because Yeshaya lived 200 years. It makes a lot of sense before you go and you write Yechezkel and Yirmiyah. But that's incorrect. In Chazal's eyes, Seder is very significant. The whole night of Lel Pesach is all built upon the principle of Seder. There's a Seder to the Nevi'im. Just because a person lived before another person does not mean that it has to be that order. Chazal put Yeshaya later on. Why? That's a separate topic in and of itself. But it's not lefi our Messiah. You always have to ask the question, where does something come from? But Lee Nether, we'll do more of this tomorrow.
So when Steins has made the number
one, in a
different way,
but that's a modern thing. The Tzuris Hadaf is a modern, it's a very modern. The Tzuris Hadaf is only a few hundred years old. So it's not a back to the sun.